Our text for today is one of those deceptively simple passages of the Bible. Simple in that its significance appears obvious and easy. Deceptive because when you pause to reflect upon its implications and understand the idea behind these simple words, their boldness will take your breath away. In this text, Paul exhorts his readers to conduct themselves in a godly manner, to live wisely, to make good use of time, avoid foolish behavior and speech, and to abstain from drunkenness. Instead, he encourages them to praise God with their voices, to be thankful always, and to recognize and respect their relationships to one another in Christ. And who could be opposed to any of that? Well, okay, I hear a few voices off in the distance grumbling something like, "Well, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun." But those voices reflect more of our generation's tendency to reduce all of life to having fun rather than some serious objection to the substance of St. Paul's words. But just as we start to feel comfortable with Paul's exhortation, the assumption behind it stirs drowsily in the back of our minds and eventually bursts to full wakefulness in the startling realization that if we take these words seriously, they will change forever the way we live our lives. I've always found it secretly amusing that modern Christians look upon the manifold failures of Old Testament Israel with a certain smug self-confidence that presumes that if we had been there, we would have done everything just right. Well, maybe so. But before we pound our chest in self-righteous indignation at the stupidity of their failures, it might just serve us well to reflect on the fact that our text for today, like so many of the words of Christ and his apostles in the New Testament, forces us to humbly confess that we too fall short of that image of Christ into which the Holy Spirit works so tirelessly through the Word to conform us. We, like so many Christians in our culture, have grown comfortable with being who we are. And we often imagine that all God really wants is for us to be just a little better version of ourselves. It is as if we have confused a healthy score on the MMPI or some other psychological instrument that quantifies our maturity and stability against sociologically conditioned acceptable norms of behavior. It is as if we have confused that with genuine Christian discipleship. Paul's words in our text for today put the lie to our blasé self-confidence. He demands that you face the reality that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, God will not leave you alone. He is not the least bit interested in you being just a better you. He intends to hound you, to demand admittance into every corner of your life until he has taken every thought and emotion and will and instinct captive to Christ. On the cross, Jesus made you his own. In baptism, he put you to death and joined you to his life. The Holy Spirit has come to dwell within you, to stake God's claim in every corner of your existence, to every thought, every word, every desire, hope, and dream. This is what it means to live as a Christian. And in his relentless will to mold you into the image of Christ, the Spirit strives daily to crush that old Adam that struggles against the Spirit of God in each of us. He is determined to take over your life and mold you into something that you are not now and can never become on your own, the very image of himself. Won't you just this one time take seriously what God says to you in his word? Perhaps not. Perhaps you are as enslaved by the culture of 21st century America as Israel was enslaved by the culture of ancient Canaan. Perhaps you, like they, cannot even see how your will, your wants, your rights, your needs, you are the problem. And Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. You see, no matter how much you think you would like to be the kind of person that St. Paul describes in our text for today, you cannot. That lovely, godly way of life that Paul describes in our text, that's not you. And it's not me. It's Jesus. But the good news is that Jesus lives in you. As St. Paul writes to the church at Colossae, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Perhaps, being Lutheran, I should give the last word to Martin Chemnitz, who writes in the Formula of Concord, "The old Adam, like a stubborn, recalcitrant ass, is also still a part of us. And it needs to be forced into obedience to Christ not only by the teaching, admonition, compulsion, and threats of the law, but also often with the cudgel of punishments and tribulations until the sinful flesh is completely stripped away and we are perfectly renewed in the resurrection. Then we will need neither the proclamation of the law nor its threats and punishment, just as we will no longer need the gospel, for both belong to this imperfect life. Instead, just as we will see God face to face, so we will perform the will of God by the power of the indwelling of the Spirit of God spontaneously, without coercion, unhindered, perfectly and completely with sheer joy. And we will delight in his will eternally. This is who you are. And this is where God is taking you. Go in peace and serve the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.